As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
If you can't handle me at my ah, hoo, 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 you don't deserve me at my ah!
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, joined by the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! Heyo! Over yonder, working the board, making the magic happen, our guy, Eshua Kitt.
How y'all doing?
What's up, Esh? And our special guest today, filling in for Tass, he is the executive podcast producer at The Athletic. He hosts the shows Slam and Jam, Down to Dunk, OKC Dream Team, and 100 other podcasts, guys. It's Andrew Schlecht. What's up, Andrew?
I cannot believe I'm in the Classic Factory right now. Oh, this is a dream come true for me.
Why are you in the Atlanta area? I assume it has to do with Thanksgiving.
Well, I told you guys I had family here. I really don't. I just drove down here just because I wanted to be on the show.
No, in-season tournament game tonight.
I traveled for the Pacers game, okay, guys?
I'm going down to the Fortress tonight for some Pacers-Hawks action.
Ooh.
Okay, so you have family in
Yes, we got family. We're doing Thanksgiving here in Atlanta. So,
well, this worked out perfectly. No task today. He's doing his driving test. So, hey, why not slip Andrew in? We'll talk a little OKC. We are going to be drafting our most disappointing players of the season so far. So that's later on in the show. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live. Smash that like button. Do it for Andrew, okay?
Please.
And make sure you subscribe to No Dunks. And just a reminder, No Dunks is hosting a weekly NBA tiers competition on Splash Sports. We're running this contest every Friday. $5 entry. Limited spots are available, so you got to sign up quickly. Easiest way to enter is to download the Splash Sports app and then search No Dunks, or just go to splashsports.com/no dunks. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, before we get to all that fun stuff I teased, we did have some games on last night.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of blowouts, if we're being honest, but some entertaining games, and we start with the Hornets winning an overtime thriller, ending the Celtics win streak. LaMelo Ball, special in this one, 36 points, 9 boards, 8 assists. But what'd you think? How shocked were you that the Hornets came back very late to ultimately beat the Celtics?
Yeah, I honestly wasn't too surprised because the Celtics have been limping at the end of this win streak.
Yeah.
They have not looked great. They've finished the Raptors game and the game against Memphis pretty poorly.
Good point.
And so like their attention to detail has been pretty low recently. And so this was going to catch up with them. A stat that I found really interesting. Before this game, they were 22 for 22 on free throws in clutch time, and they missed three at the end of this game that really could have helped them like win this game.
So you're saying this season they had yet to miss
they hadn't
a clutch
missed,
free throw
hadn't missed
until last night?
Until last night.
What stat.
No doubt. Yeah, welcome to the Classic Factory. This is a welcome to the Classic Factory moment. Did they mention it on the broadcast that they'd been 22 for 22? Because that would be like the ultimate announcer jinx.
Possibly. Because so Drew Holiday missed two.
He missed two.
That was one.
That was brutal.
And then Tatum
missed one to tie the game.
Yeah, in overtime.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah, I mean, I would go back. I mean, in watching this one, the Celtics left a substantial amount of points on the board.
Yeah.
Not only missed free throws, there was a lot of missed like layups and bunnies, especially Tatum, who, by the way, had 45 points. He missed like three or four like easy layups that he got to the rim, and you could see him like, oh my God, it's one of those nights where you just can't get it to fall, even though, he scored 45. But yeah, I'm with you on the Hornets, you know, shocking the Celtics last night, because wasn't Boston up like 9 points with like 2 minutes to go?
2 minutes left.
And it really felt like, okay, this one's over. It's in the bag. And no, I mean, LaMelo Ball, huge shots. And I thought Mark Williams was awesome.
He's really good.
He like was one of the guys out there when they were down nine with, again, like 120 seconds ago. He like, he refused to quit. He like, obviously he got an offensive rebound. He like, he didn't block the shot, but he like made a really tough Jaylen Brown sort of fadeaway. I thought he just like, his energy helped them get back in this game, and then even in overtime. He had 18 points and 16 boards. He was pretty special.
Yeah, Mark. They just call him Mark on the broadcast. Yeah. Straight up Mark. Yeah, he was awesome. He had two offensive rebounds down the stretch in the fourth quarter, follow him up with putbacks both. The Celtics' attention to detail is exactly right, Andrew. 17 offensive rebounds last night for the Hornets. Five of those came in the fourth quarter in overtime. You combine that with 15 turnovers, all the missed free throws. Jaylen Brown was kind of just chucking, I thought, in the fourth quarter. Took a couple of quick ones. They deserved this loss after, you know, they basically thought they had it home. I'm kind of with you, Skeets. They were up by 10 with about halfway through the fourth quarter. 9 with a couple of minutes left. They basically should have won it, except for Mark. And then LaMelo. LaMelo was special last night.
Awesome.
He had so many clutch plays. He was getting in the lane. He had that layup off the sideline out of bounds play. He's gone 36, 34, 37, 28, and 32 in his last five games. It was a slow start to the year. Obviously, the Hornets are not doing very well still, but LaMelo is producing at the very least.
Yeah. But it was a big win in the Nut Dust Bowl.
That was big time.
Have you heard about this thing we got going on? You heard about the Nut Dust Bowl?
Please tell me more.
You're from Oklahoma City. You must know about the Nut Dust Bowl. It sounds like something they do out there, some college game. Well, yes, Trey has the Hornets. I have the Wizards. Tass, we have folded into this thing. Mm-hmm. He has the Pistons. Whoever has the worst record, your team has to chug the bottom of like a peanut bag with all the nut dust, all the salt, all the shavings, whatever else is in there.
Yeah, I was eyeballing some nut dust last night. Rosemary nut dust.
Oh, yeah, it'd be tasty, but...
Yeah, exactly. A little too Christmassy.
So big win is my point for you, for the Hornets. Yeah. You know, Pistons lost. We'll get to that in a second. Cool. And so did my Wizards.
I can't deny it. I was into the cup, into the bowl. I was looking at it like we have the three worst teams, and they were kind of going up against the three of like five best teams in the league last night. Somehow the Hornets were able to steal one.
All right, well, let's keep it going here. Timberwolves stay atop the West, battling with your Oklahoma City Thunder there, both at 10 wins, I believe now. Anthony Edwards, Towns, they sort of shine in this one. Rudy was great. 117-100 win over the Knicks. Takeaways from this one, Andrew. The Wolves continuing to roll here.
Towns looks great.
Oh, yeah.
He's really turning around. He had a really rough start to the season. He's starting to really turn it on. And I know that people just don't like Karl-Anthony Towns. They just don't. But he's been their best player here for a little bit. And he played great last night. 6 of 10, 20 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Like, he's contributing in almost every way for the Wolves and helping them pull out these wins recently. So, yeah. He's been great.
Showing off a little bully ball last night, too. Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, not really known for that part of his game. I guess he went through Hartenstein at one point.
Yeah.
He almost got away with like a bit of a push-off. But still, he was like really aggressive. I thought he had some beautiful dimes, like you said.
He had
a couple assists, some of them to Rudy Gobert. You like to see that 1-2 action with those two Twin Towers. Yeah, what'd you think, TK?
Yeah, Towns has been great. He's really tough driving to the hole, and like you're saying, Skeets, he's been a lot more physical, it feels like, this year. He's also got, like, kind of a flailing game to him in general when he's driving. His arms are flying out at all times, so maybe he gets away with some of the push-offs because they're like, that looks natural for him. But yeah, I would have to call this win Bisman-like for the Minnesota Timberwolves. New York just shot 34%. Like, the defense was there. The Wolves bench was awesome, 43-30. The game really turned in the third quarter. Anthony Edwards got hot for a little bit there.
Yeah.
And the Knicks came out, and they just didn't really have it, I thought, to start the second half. That's exactly what Tibbs said afterwards. You look at their records, though. Knicks are 5-0 against teams that are under 500. 3-6 against teams over 500. When they're running up against the best teams in the league, like the Timberwolves with their best defense in the league, it's tough. They got to make tough shots, really, to win. Jalen Brunson takes impossible shots. Julius Randle takes impossible shots. Mm-hmm. Then you got to hope somebody gets hot from three, kind of.
Yeah, good tweet from Wolves Radio summing up Minnesota's elite defense this year. So they held the Knicks to 100 points, 34.8 field goal percentage, 23.7 from deep. That is the sixth time this season Minnesota has held an opponent under 40% from the field and under 30% from three. No other team has done that more than twice. There are 12 teams yet to do that, to obviously have a game where you're really containing the other team offensively, and they've done it now six times. And was just another example last night.
And without McDaniels for most of the game, too. Who rolled his ankle and left.
Yeah, that looked bad.
Yeah,
that looked like one of those, like, that's going to keep him out for a while, I would think.
Yeah.
But he's Canadian, so I got to go bat for him. They plugged in Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Yeah.
He comes in, and, he had started at the start of the year when McDaniel was out. Mm-hmm. So he replaces him, buries two corner threes, and I thought had a really good game. Overall, 11 points, 4 of 8 shooting, dished out three dimes, too. And he'll give you McDaniels like defense. I don't think he's on that level, but he's lengthy. He commits to that end. So, maybe they can get away here if McDaniels misses some time, if Na plays up to that level like he did last night.
It's a great sub for them.
Yeah.
Because he did the same thing in the play-in tournament.
That's right.
This past year. Defended Shai Gilgeous-Alexander really well.
That's a good point. Yeah. Cuz.
That's right.
I also need to give Kat some love because I took him to town. Took him to town?
Took him to town?
Yeah, I know. I think that's why I said that. I was pointing out that one of the things that I hate about Kat when he's struggling is he's a crybaby.
Yeah.
And it lets him affect him. Like, if he doesn't get a call and he whines and he sort of takes himself out of the play and he hurts his team. He was getting mugged a couple times last night and he seems to be trying, I don't know if it's like somebody's talked to him about it or this is just a random game, but he wasn't giving the refs a second thought. Like, he was no whining, no pouting, no that shocked O face that he does. He just hustled back and just like was on to the next play. And I mean, you'd want that from like a leader. I know it's him and Ant, but like, that's good. He should do that. Like, you're going to get hit. You're a big guy. You're going in there. You flail as it is. You're not going to get every call. Don't let it take you out of the defensive play and just like the message I think it sends to your team at times. So that was good to see. So kudos to you, Catman.
Yeah. Good advice. Be less annoying.
Yeah. Just less pouty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're a 7-foot dude, man.
Yeah.
Next play, man. Next play mentality.
Maybe it's seeing Julius Randle across the way. Yeah, that's another guy that lets his emotions take him out of games. He's like, I got to be better than that guy.
That's true. Well, speaking of emotions, let's go to the Nuggets. They get past the Pistons 107-103. Reggie Jackson was pretty special against his old team. But this all happened after Jokic and Coach Mike Malone were ejected in the first half. Jokic got his first tech for arguing a call in the first quarter. Came back to bite him in the ass because then Malone was ejected later in the quarter for disputing a call. Like, it was quick.
Mm-hmm.
He like came at the official. He was like coming onto the floor and he just like, he almost brushed up against the ref.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was any contact, but it was like a sort of like an MLB manager a little bit, like going out to an ump, sort of like that. So anyway, he's tossed. And then Jokic, not long after, later in the half, he argues another call. And eventually gets the second whistle, and he's gone. Not that it matters in the end. They get the victory, but what did you think of the quick tosses there? Or maybe not. Did they cross the line and deserve to get thrown out?
It's so hard because we don't know what they said.
Yeah.
I like to reserve judgment. It did feel like a quick toss, but I will say this. There's only one place I wanted to be last night when I heard about these ejections. It was in the locker room with Jokic and Malone, who were watching the game together. Mike Malone said after the game, you make a good play? We're pumping fists. We're excited. We're hugging. You don't make a good play? I'm cursing in Serbian. I just was like, man, I wish I could have just like been a fly on the wall.
They should have had a camera in the locker room.
It's a nice bonding moment.
Also, I don't buy any of that for a second. Jokic is watching the horse races.
Yeah.
He's looking up from his phone like, did we score?
Right.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
Right.
Cool.
That's why he was swearing in Serbian.
My horse. What did you think of the ejections there?
I think it was completely deserved. I heard what he said. You're as dumb as a horse.
You're as dumb as a horse.
That's the biggest insult in the game. Even the Detroit announcers were like, come on. Nobody's coming here to see these referees.
Yeah, they called
them out by name.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris Vernon had the clip of that. But, literally this is Jokic's one Achilles heel is twice a year he gets super mad at some calls and gets ejected from a game.
Yeah.
It happened against the Suns in the playoffs randomly once upon a time. There was the fight with the Miami Heat. He just gets super heated once or twice a season and gets kicked out. But thankfully for the Nuggets, Reggie Jackson decided to have himself a revenge game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The second tech call on Jokic was funny because Jokic, like, he's backing down. I think it's Bagley.
Yeah,
and he, like,
Bagley.
He gets bumped. Like, there's a lot of contact. But, like, Jokic literally, like, he just gives up.
He literally lets the ball go.
And he's, like, calling for a foul. Where he's, like, where's the call?
Yeah.
Nothing is called, of course. And then sort of a couple Pistons sort of converge on him. And he sort of almost goes to step through. He definitely gets hit again, and then that's what really sets him off.
Yeah.
Like, how many times? And because it's his second tech, that's why he was tossed. That's why you want to avoid as much as possible those quick early ones in a game,
because
you're chirping and all that, because something like this can happen you lose your temper a little bit. And it's like, oh, that's your second one. You're gone. But in the end, it didn't really matter because they were playing the Pistons, and they still got the victory. Is that 12 straight losses for the Detroit Pistons?
12 straight.
Cade had a good game, at least.
Yeah.
A fairly good game.
Yeah.
Good box score. Didn't shoot all that well.
They've won 4 games since the trade deadline last year.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I saw
they won 2 games this year.
Yeah.
Holy moly. They
beat the Pacers twice after the deadline. And then
the
2 wins
team?
This year.
You're blowing my mind today.
Sidney Bay, man. He was the linchpin there, I guess.
Yeah, you can frame it however you want. You can frame it since they acquired James Wiseman, they've won 4 games.
Okay, yeah.
Or since they've traded Sidney Bay,
they've won four games. However you want to spin it. Interesting.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's tough.
They need to make a panic trade for Zach LaVine.
Yeah, they need a Levine.
Honestly, both teams need a panic trade at this point. Okay, other action. I'm just going to throw all the games at you guys. If there's anything you want to touch on. Giannis scored 42 points on 20 of 23 shooting as the Bucks beat Mizards 142-129. Bam scored 23 points. Heat cruised past Trey's Bulls 118-100. Ingram and Zion Williamson, they were great. Pels crushed the Kings 129-93. Clippers defeated the Spurs 124-99. I told you there was a lot of blowouts. And then Curry and the Warriors took care of the Rockets. They stopped that 6-game skid. They needed that one. Any of those jump out of you? Any plays from them? Whatever.
Yeah, there's a couple. Jordan Poole, it was born a wizard.
Oh, I know.
He's made to be a wizard.
I know what you're going to say.
They're down 10, 4 minutes left. Yep. He walks the dog, burning the clock for as long as possible.
Yeah.
It's like, what is happening here? That was awesome. That was a very wizardsy moment.
He did not realize that the game clock. The shot clock does not start.
They had a fresh 24 when he picked up the ball.
Sure did. But he definitely did not know that because you can see him at the end. He's pissed that the game clock's going.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
It was such a good Jordan Poole play. And then Jimmy Butler yelling skyhook.
Yeah.
As he's shooting a skyhook. I just loved it. I loved everything about it. I don't like watching the Heat. That's just one of my least favorite teams to watch. But when Jimmy Butler's yelling skyhook, I'm way in.
That was very funny. All I thought about was, I can't wait for Trey Kirby to be doing this at the next pickup run. I know it's coming.
Absolutely.
Very funny, though. Yeah.
I'll shoot a real skyhook.
Oh, you didn't think that should have counted?
Nobody's running, yelling, running baby hook, running baby hook.
Just like Magic Johnson for the 1980 finals.
But yeah, that was great. Jimmy had an epic flop on LaVine on the sideline as well. They lost, the previous game against the Bulls, but it didn't seem to have Jimmy caring too much in this one.
No.
It was a hilarious performance from Butler, and they got the easy win. Zach LaVine took 10 shots in game 1 against Miami, took 9 shots in game 2 against Miami. Something I'll be monitoring.
Oh.
Those are low totals.
Yeah. You believe this is Mr. LaVine pouting a little bit here? Grumpy LaVine?
Who knows? The Heat have long been pretty good at getting the ball out of LaVine's hands and making somebody else make a play, but if it happens against their next game, I'll be on it. I'll be on it, buddy. I don't want this guy to be the villain. He dealt with, like, the worst years of the Bulls.
Yeah.
The worst years since the previous worst years, which were in the 99-ish. But he dealt with the worst years after that. They finally got a decent team around him. It lasted for a few months, and then it's been tough stuff for Zach LaVine. So I hope he doesn't go full-on Harden tank mode, basically.
Right. Or even back to, like, Vince Carter Raptors days. Like, quitting on the team is what we're getting at here.
Right. If he has a wide open fast break and he takes a layup, Skeets, then we'll know.
Yeah. Are any other games you wanted to touch on here, TK?
It was nice that the Warriors got a win. They'd lost 6 straight, finally beat the Rockets. Şengün had a monster game, but I think if you're a Warriors fan, you're most encouraged to see Klay Thompson, 20 points, 5 threes. They got to get him untracked at some point because Moody has definitely outplayed Klay Thompson so far this season. Klay's got a contract coming up at the end of the year. And obviously he's a Warriors legend, so it'd probably be a lot easier on Golden State and their fans if he's producing and they're not forced into a decision for Klay Thompson.
Yeah, and we will get to disappointing players from this season. We're going to be doing a little draft later on in the show. I assume Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, maybe on some people's list.
On the list. They're on the list.
And they're in the running. But look, you could have helped yourself last night with those games. If you had a big game,
that's right.
Maybe you get your name crossed off the
totally
list.
Right.
So we'll see if that helped Klay Thompson avoiding most disappointing players so far. But we have you here, Andrew. We talked a lot about the Thunder yesterday. You know, they didn't play last night, but I said they're at 10 wins. They're right there with the Nuggets and the Wolves, atop sort of the Western Conference. Minnesota 10-3, Nuggets and OKC 10-4. But yeah, let's get your opinions right now on your team. I mean, I went on a show yesterday. I went on the Raptors show. We talked a little bit about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The guys are saying, like, where would you have him right now on the MVP list? And I'm like, I mean, you know, he finished with some fifth place votes last season.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, he's probably right now, as of today. I mean, it's very, very early, but top three, something like that. Top five at the very least, again.
Yeah.
I just can't believe this guy's sort of gone another level, it feels like.
Yeah, the talk was, is he going to be able to average close to 30 points a game? Because you have Chet, and you have J-Dub, and you have Giddey that are all going to score. And no, he's 29.6 points per game. And he had his worst game as a Thunder player this season where he scored 7 points.
Right. So that's hurting the average.
I mean, he would be well over 30 if he didn't have that game. He's been unbelievable, and he hasn't gotten to the line as much as he did last year. He was shooting 10 free throws a game last season, 6 this year, and he's just killing in the mid-range, you know, in spite of that.
Yeah.
Like, he's just getting guys on their heels, stop and pop. He's been so good. He was so good in that overtime. He hit the dumbest shots in the overtime against the Warriors.
Yeah.
He looks great. He's so poised. He wants to win. Sam Vecenie made this point on his podcast. The Thunder are just filled with killers. Like, just have, like, mentally guys that just want to rip your heart out. And Shai's one of those guys.
Yep.
He's pretty mild-mannered off the court. Really easy to talk to. Is very nice to the officials after the games, too.
Yeah. Well, he's nice to Chris Paul's kids. Did you see that? He's going over a couple rows.
This guy's sounding Canadian.
Yeah.
We were onto him.
At Down to Dunk Night the other night for my podcast, the Thunder Podcast, we did Down to Dunk Night. We got to shoot half-court shots for courtside seats after the game.
Oh,
it was
cool.
Like part of our event.
Okay.
And Shai came out there, and he was standing out there. And I was like, Shai, you want to get a half-court shot in? And he's wearing this really tight leather coat. He's like, I can't get my arms above this, so I can't.
Fashion over everything with this guy. Yeah. But so I just, and you're right. Like, he played so incredibly well last year. Then he takes that into the summer with Team Canada and what he did for FIBA, getting them a medal for the first time in forever.
Yeah.
And then he's continuing it here. It's like, that's the part that is wild. Also, he gets to 30 points easier than anyone
in
the league.
Easy.
It's so effortless how he just, like, racks up the points. But yeah, it's cool to hear that. Yeah, talk about Chet Holmgren, though. And, you know, what he's done as a rookie so far. And, you know, this battle between Chet and Wemby in the Rookie of the Year race. And I think you said it the other day, TK. It's like, I haven't looked at the odds, but it ain't going to be long, I think, until Holmgren's maybe the front runner in terms of the odds with how he's played.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is that he's a real shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 46% from three. Obviously, he's not going to do that all season. But the fact that he can shoot threes on, like, movement, and he's a guy that you have to pay attention to, and then can defend in the paint. I mean, he has made a huge impact. Where the Thunder had basically no big men last year. And now you have this rim deterrent that's there all the time. And then he's a smart passer. He just understands the game. And he's just gritty. Like, he's just a guy that really wants to win and wants to do whatever it takes to win. He's only taken 10 shots a game right now. And, like, he has an opportunity to really be unlocked playing with Shai, and they've started to figure that out a little bit, their two-man game. That's the thing that's pretty cool if you're a Thunder fan right now. It's like, they've played well, but they're not, like, clicking yet.
Right.
They've had some bad stretches even in this 10-4 run so far, but Chet is really good. I mean, he's emerged as, to me, the clear second best player on this team.
Mm.
And I think he has a chance to be the best player on this team.
And you like a lot of these other players specifically.
There's some great players.
I think is incredible.
Dub is really good.
But you're probably right.
17 a game on 50-40-90 and being like a defensive game changer.
Yeah.
He's definitely the second best player. And you're right. He's got a chance as the career goes on. I do feel like he's online a lot, though. He was tweeting at Victor Wembanyama right after their game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm convinced that he's seen the comments about looking like Abe Lincoln, so now he's growing in his mustache.
He's got the mustache.
Yeah. Yes. I think a smart move. But I would worry a little that he's letting the haters get to him. But the guy is incredible. Do you think the defense is going to hold up for the season? They're like a top five defense right now.
I don't see why not. I mean, they were good last year, and they didn't have anybody at the rim. I also think that I'm calling it Chet fuel. Whenever Chet is online whenever he gets upset about something.
Yeah.
Like, he really, like, some guys it will derail them.
Yes.
For Chet, like, no. Like, he wants all of it.
He wants that bulletin board material.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Who else has jumped out to you early in the season?
I mean, J-Dub is so smooth with the basketball. He's somebody, I mean, he was great in the fourth quarter of that game against the Warriors, where he's getting to his mid-range jumper, too. His game looks a little bit like Shea's did early on, where he can kind of get to whatever spot he wants. He gets to the rim. He's catching lobs this year. And defensively, he's really good. He's had to take on a lot of tough assignments. Like, he has had to defend, like, Zion Williamson. He's had to defend really tough wings. I mean, he takes it all on, and he doesn't really care about the shot attempts. Like, he's just kind of along for the ride so far, which is good.
That's good.
But he's really good. And then Cason Wallace, as a rookie, has been ridiculous. He's shooting 62.5% from the field right now, 54% from three. He hasn't missed a free throw. He's 62, 54, 100 shooting split so far, which is absurd. And then defensively, he can really hold
up. He's a dog.
Yeah, he's great. And Mark Degnault loves him. He's played him the most minutes next to Isaiah Joe off the bench. He plays all the time. They put him in lots of different positions. I think he's the shortest guy on the team, but they put him in the dunker spot all the time. I'm workshopping a, they call him Queso. Queso in the dunker spot. I'm workshopping
a
t-shirt
there.
Idea
Queso.
There
okay.
with Queso in the dunker spot. But he's awesome. He's somebody that I think Thunder fans have we trust him already. Like, we feel like you could throw him in the mix in any kind of game. And they have started him. Like, J-Dub missed the game against the Blazers. They started him in his place. He's been really good. And he's been overshadowed by Chet because, like, you got these two rookies. But he's been awesome.
Is there any concern, this is going to sound crazy when it comes out of my mouth, but any concern that there's too many good players on this team?
Hmm.
Because, you know, Kenrich Williams now back. Isaiah Joe hasn't missed a three-pointer, I don't think, all season. Like, there is a lot of depth here, which on one hand is fantastic, especially when injuries come into play. But, you know, these guys want minutes. They want their opportunity.
Yeah.
But how has that gone so far, and do you think it could be an issue at all?
I mean, I think it's going to be an issue at some point where you're going to have to probably consolidate at some point in this run. It's not going to be this year. Like, they're going to be fine this year. But at some point, like, Josh Giddey's going to be like, listen, like, I can take 16 shots a game.
Right, I could run a team.
Like, I can run a team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to be 12 points, 5 boards a game. He can do a lot more than that. So at some point, that's going to settle. And that happens to every team.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, some, especially when you have a lot of good young players. But for now, they're trying to figure it out. There's no panic. There's no, like, what do we need to do? How do we need to shift this? It's, like, stay the course.
Like, the goal is, obviously, get into the playoffs and get some playoff reps.
Yeah.
Like, get into series and see what we're really made of.
Yes, and that's when you see who the real players
are.
Because, these games, like, a game against the Blazers, it's, like, that's the biggest, like, whatever game ever.
Yes.
It just doesn't matter. So, but when you get to the playoffs, like, Lu Dort was a guy that people were ragging on all year last year, Thunder fans were. And then you get to the play-in, like, suddenly Lu Dort's your third best player.
Right.
So you really find out who your team is once you get to the playoffs. And I think they want the opportunity to find that out. Josh Giddey was the best player against the Pelicans in the playing game that they won.
Mm-hmm, right.
So it's there's a lot of chatter amongst Thunder fans about Josh Giddey. And I just say, chill out. Chill out.
Chill out, you slob wizards.
Yeah, come on.
No, I think Giddey and Dort for Caruso and Vooch is the trade.
You like that?
That's the trade to make.
Get that inside presence.
Yeah, you need a rebounder.
Yes, when I watch this team, I just think, we need Vooch.
Yeah. Slow it down a little.
Yeah.
Simple game. Land of the Lilliputians out there.
What would be the biggest concern, despite this awesome start, all these guys playing well?
Yeah.
Is there one area concern? You know, like, they are on fire when it comes to shooting. At some point, that's going to, like, come a little closer to the mean here with some of these guys, but is there anything else I'm missing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one because Thunder fans are, like, bragging about, look at our true shooting percentage. I look at them like, guys, watch out.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't going to last forever.
Right.
And then the rebounding. Like, they're just not a good rebounding team. They weren't going to be, and that was going to be a struggle of theirs because they committed to playing Chet with basically four guards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have to give up something.
Yes.
They're top 10 in offense and defense, though. When people complain about the rebounding, it's like, what are you...
They're still playing great.
They're playing great.
I know a great rebounder.
You know, somebody gets some bounce.
Yeah, just a great rebounder. But okay,
Andre Drummond.
Right, yeah, you want him too? Yeah. Nah, he's going to the Lakers, baby. Yeah, we're sending everybody out. We'll take your eighth man. Doesn't matter. Giddy. The fit is interesting, but also the shirts you made are interesting. The Slob Wizard t-shirts.
Yeah.
How does he feel about being called Slob Wizard?
Oh, he hates it.
I love it.
He absolutely
That's how you know it's sticking around.
It. Yeah, he did not like it. He wants it to go away. We said, no. No, it's
not
too good.
Year.
Shout out to John Hollinger. It's great. And we are looking for... I hope that you all of you guys wear your Slob Wizard shirts at once on the show.
So, but you're saying it sounds like we're not going to get a great photo of Giddy wearing a Slob Wizard shirt.
No, my current goal is to get J-Dub to wear one.
That's, okay. That's the move. Yeah.
I think, and he's very much online too. And he would have it on Instagram. I'm hoping that we can get him to wear one. That's my current goal. Giddy, there's no chance. He will even touch a Slob Wizard shirt.
And Shea's not putting on that.
Shea won't do that, although Shea does have a former Down to Dunk shirt.
Oh, okay.
Maybe in his closet. Maybe he's given it to Goodwill already.
Okay.
I don't know.
Respect. But, respect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a team that gets their fits off, for sure.
They do.
Yeah, they like to,
they do.
They like to get dressed. You mentioned Thunder right now. Top 10 on both sides of the basketball. Last year, made the play-in tournament. You said you want some sort of play-in or some sort of playoff experience this year. What do you consider like a successful season at the end of the year? It's quite likely the Thunder finishes a top four seed. When you finish the top four, people kind of expect you to win a round, maybe two.
Yeah, I think just playing in the first round.
Yeah,
like this team just needs that experience. I think they're the third youngest team in the NBA.
Wow.
So they still just need that experience. Like you can't replace that experience with even just talent. It just takes time. And so I think even getting one round, and if you get punked, you know, I think that they still feel good. And, like, then they can – we talk about, like, trades they can make and things like that. Then you'll know.
Yeah.
Like, what do we need? Is it more experience? Is it more time? Or are we so bad in one area that we were exploited that we need to go address that in the draft or through a trade or whatever?
Yeah. One of the fun things you did in the preseason, I'm sure some of the fans out there have seen some of these clips. You did preseason interviews with a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
And one of the bits was – how Oklahoma are you?
Yeah.
You had on the cowboy hat, and sometimes the guys would also try on the cowboy hat.
They had to earn it.
Jalen Williams, they had to earn it. I mean, he was having so much fun in this interview. But you do seem like there's a really cool collection of, despite being very young, like pretty fun guys go with the flow guys. Any good stories from the how Oklahoma are you bit?
They were really good sports about it. J-Dub, so I had like a list of players that were supposed to come to my station. J-Dub wasn't on it, but I went and grabbed him and was like, hey, will you like do this like bit with me? He's like, oh yeah, like he came right over. Like he was all pumped about it. Just making so I had them look into the camera and like give a howdy. Shea did terrible in this. Didn't hardly know anything.
Because it was like trivia.
Yeah, it was like very basic Oklahoma trivia. Right. There's people like Oklahomans are like appalled that these guys don't know this stuff. It's hilarious.
You're asking them like what's the national or the state bird.
Bird.
It's like
the cassowary.
Don't know the scissor tail flycatcher? No. But they were really good sports. Shea did horrible. And so if they did that, the bit at the end was to have them look into the camera and say, dead gummit, you know? And I told Shea to say dead gummit, and he was like, no, I can't say that. As if it were like something really bad. And I was like, will you just say dead gum? And he was like, dead gum. And it was so funny. Chet, when he put on the hat, you can see it at the end. He puts it on the back of his head. And then he just like looks up really awkwardly into the camera. It was beautiful.
Who was the best? Like in trivia.
J-Dub did really well.
Oh, okay.
J-Will did good. When I asked him, so like one of the best places in Oklahoma is called Brahms.
Okay.
They make great ice cream. They have milk. They make burgers and stuff. It's awesome. But I asked them, where's the best place to get milk and ice cream? And J-Will said, he thought about it a second, he goes, a cow.
It's good.
I have to award you points for saying a cow.
I highly recommend you go check these clips out. How Oklahoma are you? Anything else you got, TK?
Were those your hats?
They were not. They were all borrowed hats.
Hats.
I do not. I mean, you can see that it does not quite fit me.
Yeah.
So it was. They were all borrowed hats. Shout out to a guy, a distant relative of mine. His name is Sherl. who I borrowed hats from. So
that's his first name?
Sherrill.
Sherrill.
Yeah.
That guy. He's from Oklahoma?
I'm from Oklahoma.
Sure sounds like it.
Owns lots Sherrill of cowboy is. Hats.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Anything else, TK?
Yeah, the Thunder got a million picks. How many? In the next however many drafts?
I think they have 18.
What are they going to do with them? Are they going to trade up like Cason Wallace style where they package a bunch of middle of the round first rounders to try to get a guy that they really like? I guess they did that with Jang last season as well. Mm-hmm. Or are they going to hang on to him and try and draft a whole bunch of guys to keep the costs down a little bit?
So we've started to see a little bit of what they're doing with these picks is that they have these maybe middling first round picks and they're trading them to the future for picks that are better. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to do more of that. I think Presti kind of learned his lesson the last time around, where they had a ton of opportunities to make the team better early on. They kind of used those picks. A lot of them didn't come to fruition. And then when it came time to win, they didn't have anything to spend. They had their own picks to spend. You know, they acquired Deion Waiters and Enes Kanter, but that's about all they could acquire. This time around, they want to wait until they have the overlapping primes of all these players and then be able to use those assets for players. So now they're going to try to kick the can down the road when they can. They're probably going to pick somebody in this upcoming draft, but yeah, I mean, they want to use these assets differently than almost everybody has. I mean, they're really doing something that no team has ever really given the chance to do.
True.
Because, like, the Sixers tried to do it, and then management was changed, and once it was changed, it was like, let's give a billion picks for Tobias Harris and, like, call it a day.
Yeah.
Presti's going to have a chance to really do what he wants with this team throughout the next, hopefully, like, 5-6 years.
Right.
And then once they become like the team that they believe they can be, then you can start to fill in the gaps with these first-round picks and trade for players and do what you need to do. But for now, they're going to sit on them. Mm-hmm. They're going to make a couple picks in the draft next year and probably just have people talk about them on podcasts for a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, their name's always going to come up because you have so much talent that, like you said, consolidate some of us, and you have so many picks. Like, so anytime a star player is on the market, OKC is obviously one of the names that gets thrown out, but
they can trade for just about anybody because you have the young players, you have all the picks, you have some additional salary like Lou Dort, you have Davis Bertans' contract, which is going to be mentioned a billion times between now and the trade deadline. Will they do anything with it? Maybe not.
You don't think so, it sounds like.
I really don't think so. I think that they still have a lot of questions. As much as we love this team, there's a lot of questions about what this team can be. Usman Jang, he's playing with the G League right now. They expended some assets to get that guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they picked him 11th. They want to see what he is, and they know that he's going to take some more time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to trade for somebody in that spot where they really need him to grow a little bit, and at least to see, like, is he going to be a player? Maybe not. Maybe he is. Who knows? But they want to see that play out a little bit before they just trade for some guy.
Good time to be a Thunder fan.
It
you got some good problems there
it
in
is.
OKC. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, Andrew is going to draft alongside TK and I the most disappointing players from the season so far. It's going to get spicy here. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, welcome back to the Classic Factory. Look at this. What is this from here, Esh? Help me out.
It's from a cartoon called A Fairly Odd Parents.
Fairly Odd Parents, yes.
I've seen this cartoon before. I've never watched it.
Single time I see that picture of Andrew, this is exactly what I think of. He's Doug Dimmadome.
That's...
Like, for sure.
Is that Sherl in the back?
That's how I felt the whole time interviewing them. I felt just like that guy.
All right, so we got Andrew here. We are going to be drafting our most disappointing players of the season so far. Pretty straightforward, guys. We're going to do three rounds. So we are trying to build the most disappointing three-on-three team, I guess. I don't know if you're going to really take into consideration positions, but have at it. Our order, Andrew, you're our guest, so you'll go number one. TK, you get the second spot. I'll go third. Before we pick, how do we feel about guys that are like... injured.
It is disappointing that they're injured.
Yeah. You know, like Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton comes to mind. Yeah. He's only playing like 20 minutes a game. He hasn't played well for the Bucks, but you know, he's got an injury excuse.
I stay away from injuries as much as I can.
Okay.
Yeah. I got two on my draft board.
Okay.
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 We'll see if they
come
up.
So maybe you come in. Number one pick, most disappointing player so far, according to you, is who?
Trae Young.
Okay.
Trae Young is making Jordan Poole look like an efficiency king right now. It's really bad.
Yikes.
35.6% from the field, 28% from three, 40% from two this season. Ugh. It's really bad. He has the worst shooting percentage from any player in the top 50 in field goal attempts. It's really, really bad. And of the players taken at least 100 shots this season, the only player that is comparable to Trae Young is Zaire Williams. And I also don't even want to talk about Zaire Williams because he's just been that bad and has been just crapped on by many, many a podcast. So I don't want to talk about that. But Trey's been really bad. The Hawks' most used lineup, Trey, DeJounte, DeAndre Hunter, Jalen Johnson, Capella, is a minus two, which is kind of bad. And the Hawks have just been kind of bad this year, 6-6.
Yeah, mediocre. Classic Hawks, unfortunately. Trae Young definitely was on my list. I was interested to see where he was going to get drafted here. Yeah, it's been disappointing. Hey, the 11 assists per game is nice. Yeah, he still racks those up. I mean, he still is a point guard and a playmaker, but the shooting is just wild. We thought there's no way. He was bad last year.
I know.
Really? And we were like, ah, he'll have a bounce back here. I mean, we talked about it a lot on the podcast and the preseason shows, and it's gotten worse.
It's been even worse.
Yeah. Okay, Trae Young is gone. TK, you had him on the short list there, I assume?
Yeah, he was definitely on my draft board.
Okay, so he is gone. Who do you have with your first pick?
I got to go Cade Cunningham. Yeah. Unfortunately, the efficiency was helped last night. I think he went 10 for 10 at the free throw line. But I had Cade at the top of my disappointing players draft because there have already been two articles that came out about him trying to get to the bottom about why his PER is so low. James Edwards over at The Athletic took a look at every single one of his turnovers so far this season. He's currently leading the league in turnovers. And then Zach Cram at The Ringer looked at every one of his shots this season. So when you've got a lot of people like dissecting your game to try and figure out how a guy who averages 21 per game and 7 assists can be one of the lowest on all of your advanced metrics, that's an easy draft for me. And I don't think that the Pistons should be this bad, quite honestly. They've lost 12 straight. The Sadiq Bey stats are crazy. 4-35 over the course of like 6 months or something like that. They've had a lot of injuries. Their best shooters are out, so I understand that the personnel isn't great around Cade, but also he does not look like he's going to necessarily be their number one guy going forward, and I think that's a disappointment.
One of the topics on the Raptor show yesterday was redrafting the 2021 draft with, you know, obviously Cade going number one and how it would shake out. You know, I'm on a Raptor show, so there's a lot of talk about Scottie Barnes, and it feels like him bouncing back this year maybe would have him as a number one pick, but then you start going through a bunch of the other names, you're like, Şengün's
been awesome.
Franz Wagner, Mobley, of course.
Yeah.
You know, Trey Murphy III, he's injured right now. Mm-hmm. But like, there's a lot of names. It's like, where does Cade fall right now? Now, I think he is put in a horrible position with what they're doing with the Pistons. Really having no shooters around this guy is really, really hurting him. But he has not impressed. And yeah, you shouldn't be losing 12 games in a row. He's their lead guard. Some games he fills up the box score, but other times the shot's not dropping. The turnovers are way too high. He's not really all locked in defensively. And he's a number one pick, so...
They got beat by Reggie Jackson.
I know. It's weird. I just don't like how they're using it. They're thinking Cade Cunningham is like Luka or Harden. Or like, they're putting... He shouldn't be playing that way. Now, maybe they're forced into that because of their personnel and all that, but... Yeah, he's on the list. He was on my list. I don't know if I would have taken him number one overall, but I get why Trae is Cade Cunningham. And who would you have, by the way? I know I'm sort of putting you on the spot. Like, how would you do the 2021 draft? Maybe the top top three, top five, whatever you want to go.
I think I would go Mobley.
Mobley
number,
one.
Number one. Still, okay. Just for the defensive okay. upside, his mobility. I mean, he's going to get better as an offensive player. He's mm-hmm. a little reluctant still. And then probably Scotty.
Yep.
Scotty's been unreal this year.
He has been. That surprised me when I was looking at his stat. I was like, God, this guy's...
He's balling
right
now.
Like, yeah. No, it's like, he's not flirting with a triple-double, but some right. games he's there, but he's averaging over 20 points per game. He's hitting the three. That's the
That's the biggest thing.
Yes.
I don't believe it yet.
Yeah, it's still early. Small sample size.
But if he turns out to be a shooter, yeah. he will be the number one guy in this class.
Yes,
by far.
I'd agree with that. And then who would be three then? Cade? Is it Franz? Is it
Şengün?
Şengün, yeah.
Şengün's been awesome. I'm still a Cade believer. I still think that if he's put in a better position, that he will look better. Like if he played for the Thunder and he was in like Shea's place, he wouldn't be as good as Shea, but he would be so much better mm-hmm. than he looks on this Pistons
yep.
team. I mean, you look at him driving to the hoop last night on what could be a game-winning play, and he's met with like three guys. What is he supposed to do? Mm-hmm. He's going to throw the ball to somebody on the perimeter who's just going to clank a three? I mean, the options are pretty limited for him. And he's just turning the ball over like crazy. I don't know. He's struggled, but he's not been put in a great position. So I'd still go Cade.
Okay. All right. TK, how would you do that one? Just 1, 2, 3.
I probably would go Mobley over Barnes at this point. And then I'm going Şengün third.
Figured.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was high. I think he was.
He's great, man. He's awesome.
Will had
he's
him at number.
Should have been a Thunder, they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is the Giddy draft we're talking about here. Yep. This is Kuminga and Moody. I mean, there's some talent here. I mean, Jalen Suggs is playing really well defensively.
Yeah.
And a lot of other great names in this draft, even as you go down the list. Jalen Big Johnson coming up the redraft boards. All right, back to drafting the most disappointing players, though. With my number one pick, I'm also going to go with a number one guy. I'm going to go DeAndre Ayton.
Ooh, dominate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mainly because of he sold us a shitty bill of goods.
He did.
I believed. I thought a fresh start, man. Get this guy out of the desert. I think, you know, up in Portland where they're not going to be even expected to win, but he'll have some big numbers and all that. And he has been horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal what he's giving Portland. Like, yeah, the rebounds are there. Okay, he always does that. 12 points a game, though. And there's a stat going around on Ayton right now that for a big guy, he has like one of the most laughable free throw rates of all time. You know how many free throws he's shot this year? Mm-hmm. 9. He's played in 13 games.
That is really
bad. He's 7 for 9. Good free throw percentage, but he never gets there.
Yeah. You thought he might be like good stats, bad team guy? He's bad stats, bad team guy.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I feel like a sucker. I sort of thought he would be okay there. And you know, at least, yeah, maybe putting up 20 and 10 sort of in his sleep. But it is wild just how little he gets to the line. And like, okay, keep this in mind. There are some guys that don't get to the line a lot as big guys, but they're like three-point shooters. You know, maybe they're not operating inside. Like, you know, Al Horford, I guess last year, had a really low free throw rate because that makes a little more sense. Al Horford's out on the three-point line.
Yeah.
He's turned into a shooter and all that, but like, that's not Ayton. Like, he should be operating, you know, around the paint and does. Just wild. So I'll take him number one. I wanted to get him on my team because dominating, he is not. He is not at all.
So bad.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3 goes Trae Young. It goes Cade Cunningham. It goes DeAndre Ayton.
Not bad.
Let's do another round. Start of the second round. Who do you have?
I said I wouldn't take injuries into account here, but I lied. I am going to take Scoot Henderson.
There we go.
A rookie?
He was on my list. That was one of my injury guys, too.
He's only played 5 games, which is disappointing. It's part of my disappointment that I haven't seen him enough.
Yeah.
But 8 points, 2 boards, 4 assists in those 5 games, shooting 34.9% from 3, 85. That's dangerously close to what my Slam and Jam co-host Alex calls the singler zone, where your shooting splits don't add up to 100. So,
wow.
He was billed as some guy that could be the number one pick in any other draft. How many times was that said?
Oh, we were mocking the Hornets.
Yeah. Yes.
We were openly going, you fools.
Yes.
You idiots.
Even Victor Wembanyama said it. If I wasn't born, he would be the number one pick.
Yes. And he just hasn't looked like that at all. Oh. And it's early. I get it. But I'm still allowed to be disappointed.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't include him because, the rook part and the 5 games played part.
Yeah.
But, man, you go through the numbers. It's very disappointing.
Pretty disappointing, yeah. Yes. Getting hurt that early is disappointing, too. Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Okay, Scoot Henderson. Who do you have, Trey, for your second pick?
I ain't going to take him, but just to put a button on it, my other injury guy was Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
It's pretty disappointing how little he's played and that he's still out for, what, another 3 to 5 weeks or something like that. Who am I going for my number two pick? I got to go with Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, wow. Wiggins over Clay. Okay.
Wiggins over Clay. It was a tough call, but I feel like Wiggins... You know, we don't expect Clay to be a great defender at this point in his career. He's older, and he's gone through the injuries. We saw him slowing down last year, and clearly that's still the case. Whereas Wiggins, 12 points a game on 11 shots a game. And he's not really bringing it defensively either. He's down to 4 rebounds a game. I remember him saying after the Warriors won the finals in 2022, and he was like an instrumental player, he's like, I'll never average 4 rebounds a game again. That's what he's averaging. Yeah. What a weird claim to begin with, but also to follow through on it. Like, they just need Wiggins to be like what he was when he came to Golden State, I guess. They don't necessarily finals Wiggins would be perfect, but I don't know if we're getting back there right now. The confidence doesn't seem to be there. He had a great game against the Thunder, actually caught fire in the fourth quarter, hit 4 threes in like 5 minutes. He's made 12 threes on the season.
Yeah.
So outside of those 5 minutes, 8 for 44. Not great. So I'm going Wiggins over Clay, but you know, you could take either of them, to be quite honest.
You're not surprised by Wiggins making TK's list here, I assume?
No, he's not been good. And then what they really need him for, you mentioned it, like they need him on the boards.
Yeah.
Like they're literally the shortest team in the NBA.
Yeah. They need him to play a lot bigger than he is.
Yeah, they need him to.
And he has before. This is the crazy part.
Right.
Right.
I mean, he's part of the reason why they won the finals.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He made an all-star team.
The all-star team.
We were debating it. I remember, like, hold on, I'm the Canadian, and I'm saying, really? Wiggins an all-star? And people were like, yeah, look how he's played. Look how the impact he's had on winning. And it was all true.
Yep.
And then we saw him do it, obviously, in a playoff run. And, he's been bad. And, I mean, unfortunately, he's been so bad, we're like, what's going on with this guy? Is everything okay? Is there something off the court? Like, that's the questions people are asking.
Yeah.
Because he's just, like, just sort of lollygagging through games. Okay, Wiggins gone. Man, where do I go with my second pick? I don't want to take Clay. It just feels bad to do that to the sea captain. So I'm going to take Jordan Poole.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take Poole for my second disappointing player. I mean, I'm laughing because there was some talk like, Jordan Poole, he might lead the league in scoring on Washington. We knew they're going to be bad.
Yeah.
We knew they're going to suck. But we're like, well, this guy's a bucket, though. I mean, he's going to shoot a ton. He does that. But you got to score to lead the league in scoring. Yeah. And he's averaging 16.6 points per game. You know, he doesn't really do much of anything else. You know, a couple boards, couple assists. Shooting under 40% from the floor, under 29% from three, and, you know, a PER of 9.6 as a catch-all stat. I'm also convinced, I mean, maybe Schumann's in the stream team right now. He must have one of the worst plus-minus totals in the league.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every game I know it's because he's on the Wizards, but it's like minus 25, minus 20, minus 18. So he has not, he's not lived up to, you know, the guy that we thought maybe like, okay, he can at least score. They might be bad, but he'll put up some stats. He's just been horrible.
He's been horrible, but entertaining at the same time.
Yeah, he's given us that, as we just even talked about, what he was doing with the walk of the dog last night. But
yeah, it's a kind of a throwback Wizards moment right now, it feels like. I'm kind of enjoying it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you would be enjoying it as much if you were a Wizards fan.
Oh, absolutely not. This is definitely
from
11. This is
from afar.
Yes, yeah, yes. No, this is from the stance of somebody who doesn't have any care at all in what the Wizards do.
Yeah. So I've got Swaggy Poole. It's one of his nicknames there, apparently, on Basketball Reference. I didn't know that. Okay, so we got six guys off the board, I know. This is your last pick, Andrew. You have Trey and you have Scoot. Where are you going?
Julius Randle has not played well.
Okay.
What? Even in the last, a couple weeks? He's turned it around.
He was so bad, though.
Yes.
To start the season. The Knicks have played well, and they have a good record. But, boy, oh boy, he's shooting 50% at the rim this season. And he started out just, like, at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
But to still only be at 50% at the rim is really rough. 37% overall. I mean, he has just not shot the ball well, and he's kind of been loafing around some for the Knicks this year. He has turned it around, so I'm not incredibly disappointed. He is my third pick. But Julius Randle, after coming off an awesome season last year, has been pretty bad to start this year.
Yeah, if we had done this exercise in the first 2 weeks, Randle's probably going number one.
I was going to say, first round pick.
I think Siakam would be in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, there's the whole James Harden of it all, you know, this guy.
Right.
Who else? Cat actually started really poorly, but, yep. you know, I feel like some of those guys have turned it around. Even Randall's, you know, getting now to your 9-for-18 shooting games.
He's
and
getting better.
10-for-20 shooting better. Games, and I think he's started to find the groove. He had the built-in excuse, too, of his ankle
yeah.
that he talked about, but okay, you're still going Randall.
I'm still disappointed.
Because it was so bad at the start.
It was really bad yeah. to start the year.
Okay, Trey, your final pick here in our most disappointing players.
I got to have a bowl, Skeets.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm disappointed. I've been wanting podcasts to talk about the Bulls for 3 seasons. They wouldn't do it. And now you hear about the Bulls on every podcast, but yep. it's just for trades. They are just assets for other teams right now. So I considered LaVine. He's having a down year
yeah.
By his standards. Just 21 points per game, 43 from the field, 34 from three. That's not great for Zach LaVine. Obviously, we talked about earlier, he's not shooting the ball right now and wants to be traded. That's all disappointing.
That's very disappointing. Yeah.
But I'm taking Patrick Williams,
yeah.
the most disappointing guy on the Bulls. He's averaging 5.8 points per game on 6.1 shots per game, 33% from the field, 26 from three, and he lost his starting job to Torrey Craig, who has yeah. played on every team in the league.
Wow.
It's bad stuff. Like, I look at the Bulls and the Raptors too much.
Yeah.
Because of who we are, you know?
yeah.
They're the exact same team. They even both drafted a forward from Florida State, number 4.
right,
the yeah. only difference is that Scottie Barnes is straight up hooping, really? And yeah. Patrick Williams, people get excited if he grabs a rebound in an aggressive manner.
Yeah. 6 shots.
The bar is so low for this
it's
guy.
It's so low. They're like, yeah. do anything yeah. and we'll be very happy, and he is rarely doing things.
Yeah. The 6 shots is mind-blowing.
It's unbelievable how little he wants to shoot the ball.
How many more years does this guy... going to have here in the, sort of in the league.
Well, he's
playing
young.
Overseas.
he's young.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look. I'm surprised he's on your list just because maybe a lot of people are like, it's Patrick Williams.
It's a deep cut. Man? It's a deep cut.
But you as a Bulls fan, I can understand your distaste for what you're seeing from this guy. And losing his spot to Torrey Craig, man, that does
That's
say a lot.
Brutal. Are you disappointed in Coby White, too?
No.
Okay.
not really.
This guy's beaten okay. down, man.
No, I'm not disappointed in Coby White. I'm like, he's been one of the bright spots this year. Okay. Caruso built a statue for him. Yeah. He's been playing so far. Coby White, it's like, wow, he's a bottom 10 starter.
He's okay.
At point guard, which I think is an improvement.
All right, final pick comes to me. There's a lot of names still in the running here. I said James Harden.
Yeah.
I almost don't want to pick
overplayed.
Him.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, we've talked about.
Sure.
Do we get two Warriors in this very short draft here? He's been very bad. It's weird. It sucks to see, too, because a lot of people like Klay. I yeah. love Klay. It's just, is it just an age thing? Is it just caught up to him? Is it just one of these streaky things? Like, I almost don't want to pick him because as soon as we do, he'll just have these three games where, he hits 7-8 threes. Like, that's just going to happen.
Yeah,
you just know it. He's a shooter, man. He's going to shoot his way out of it.
He did the same thing last year.
But two other names I wanted to throw at you guys that I'm considering. One, Darius Garland.
Yeah.
Now, injuries came into play with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was missing some time. I just feel like Darius Garland has not been talked about at all this season.
Yeah. Very little.
Very, very little. He's averaging just under 20 points per game, 3 boards, 6 assists. Not shooting the 3 all that well. He's only played 8 games, so he missed some. The Cavs as a team in general, I feel like nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
just been so little talk about Mobley and even Mitchell and Garland. So I had Garland in the mix, but... I'm actually going to swerve here and take Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard has not been good.
That's true.
And it's not discussed at all because he's Kawhi Leonard and obviously all of his accolades and stuff like that. He is playing. That's the weirdest part of the whole thing. He's actually playing in back-to-back situations, playing most of these games. But he just has not wowed me in Clippers games that I've seen. Like, really when I get into taking over games down the stretch, his shots are short a lot of the time. And I don't know. Again, he might just turn it on just like that. But we just always talk about Westbrook and now Harden there. And Paul George even gets talked about way more. Kawhi Leonard has not had a great season. He's disappointing to me.
He just gets to ride off into the sunset.
I think
he wants all this chaos around him, so he just blends in.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have to take any of the heat at all. But,
yeah.
you're right. He could take on a bigger role.
I think that's it, yeah. And we've seen him do that, of course.
Yeah.
And maybe this is he's like, what, who cares, 10 games in type of thing, and do it in the playoffs. He's averaging 21 points per game, 5 boards. he's shooting great from three.
Yeah.
But overall, again, if you watch Clippers games, I'm not like, okay, where's the Kawhi takeover? And it's, you're not seeing it a lot this year.
Yeah. So he's kind of going through the motions a little bit.
Going through the motions is a good way to put it. But
he's coming off knee surgery, isn't he?
That's right. Yeah, I guess so.
Always, he's looking slower.
Always is.
Yeah, he always is. Yeah. But Paul George has definitely been their best player and most takeover ability so far.
Yeah. So I'll take Kawhi again, sort of just as a wild card there. Any other names? What about this guy? He's been horrible.
I mean, Josh Giddey has not played well to start the season. He's kind of having trouble finding his role with the team. I mean, his numbers are down across the board. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, disappointing, yes.
Yeah. He obviously, it's not as bad when your team's 10-4.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
It's one of those things if you're mentioning it, like, what are you doing?
Yep. Any other one else?
Sohan. Jeremy Sohan.
Mm. Yeah.
Just because he was like a,
that's not bad.
Like a hipster favorite at the end of last season. And kind of a playmaking big, and now suddenly he's the point guard, and everybody's like looking at him sideways because we kind of realize Victor Wembanyama needs a point guard, and there's one just sitting there on the bench, but Popovich is saying, nah, it's experimentation time, when it feels like all of the experimentation should be, how do we get Victor Wembanyama to be awesome immediately? And maybe the way you do that is by getting another high draft pick by playing a guy out of position for an entire season.
Yeah.
Stealth tank.
Yeah, that's a good one. And one more I'll throw in here. It hurts because the team is doing quite well, at least to expectations, but Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Has not played all that well for Houston. But, you know, look, he's given them the calming sort of point guard, you know, that veteran there. He's played that part, him and Brooks have, and along with Udoka, and they have a good record. He's shooting 38% from the field, and he's shooting 36% from three, which is, I guess, fine for him. But not a lot. 16-10, though. Again, he's more of the he's the Rock from Rockford, Illinois, but he just can't shoot.
Yeah. He's a low-efficiency guy.
Yeah,
he has been for a while.
That's sort of his thing. All right, we'll call it there. So Andrew has Trae Young, Scoot Henderson, Julius Randle. Trey has Cade Cunningham, Andrew Wiggins, not Zach LaVine. I wrote Zach LaVine. Sorry. Patrick Williams. And I have DeAndre Ayton, Jordan Poole, and Kawhi Leonard. Who'd we miss? Let us know in the stream team. Tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. We got to take one more break, and when we come back, a special tweet of the night involving this very man. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, a few things before we get to Tweet of the Night. Schumann is in the stream team, and he has confirmed that Jordan Poole and Jeremy Sohan have the worst plus-minus in the league this season.
Wow.
So we were right about Jordan, and we included Sohan there as a honorable mention for disappointing players. And the chat really wants to know how to spell this guy in Oklahoma City who gave you the hats, Sherl. How do you spell his name?
Here's how we'll do it. Subscribe to Down to Dunk,
Ooh.
And then I will spell it on the show.
Wow.
On our next show.
That's great.
So you don't really know.
I don't really know.
Got to find out.
I'll figure it out.
I mean, a lot of people think it must be short for Shirley. So maybe it's just a S-H-I-R-L. A lot of people think it could be with a U. Somebody said, what about, E-A? There's a lot of ways to spell Sherl, I guess.
Sure is.
So who knows? You got to subscribe to Down to Dunk to find out. How do you spell Sherl's name?
How do you spell Sherl? Tune in.
Tune in.
I love it. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night comes from you, Andrew Schleck.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we were spying on your X profile to do some market research and uncovered two gems here. Our first one is a quote from Mark Daigneault on Cason Wallace. Daigneault said he doesn't play with his tuxedo on. He's a grimy, gritty player.
Oh, that's a great, such great
an quote. Absurd
quote.
That's so good. Is Mark Daigneault cool?
He is really cool. He's 38.
Yeah.
So he's the oldest 38-year-old.
That's cool to me, man.
It's really cool. He's the oldest 38-year-old ever. Like, he likes old people music. He talks like an old guy. Like, who says he plays with his tuxedo?
Doesn't play with his tuxedo.
Doesn't play
on.
With his tuxedo so, on. It was just like, yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah, I just saw a clip with him talking up how much he loves the Grateful Dead. So he rose on my coaching stand.
I saw that. Yeah,
he's a slight deadhead. Yeah,
slight deadhead. Yeah, Billy Donovan apparently as well is a big deadhead.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
I don't know. Keep him around, maybe. Anyways, the big tweet of the night that we wanted to see was you followed this up, tweeting, name an NBA player that quote plays with their tuxedo on. So who do you guys got? I saw somebody slid into your comments right away. Andrew and said Boris Diaw. That picture of him holding the wine.
Yeah, I laughed out loud at that.
Too that funny. Is a great one.
Yeah.
Boris Diaw is a great one.
Yeah.
So yeah, who plays with their tuxedo?
Is this I guess my question is it an insult to say they play with their tuxedo on?
A little bit.
It
right?
kind of feels
because
like
because yeah. the flip side is yeah, he doesn't play with a tuxedo on. He's gritty. He gets
yeah.
at it. He
yeah.
know, brings his lunch pail and his hard hat and he yeah. gets at it. But yeah, the opposite is hoity toity, and you know, who doesn't do all the little things? Who doesn't hit the floor?
Yeah.
Who maybe I don't know, complains. Does that sort of go hand in hand with someone in a tuxedo? Some
yeah.
snob, I guess.
You never seen somebody wearing a tuxedo
on the floor. It's a tough thing to answer.
It's a weird question.
Do we have any good suggestions besides yeah. Boris Diaw? Who, I mean, also did all the little things. So, but, yeah.
LaMelo Ball and Trae Young?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think of those guys as gritty players.
No.
And I don't think that you can still be successful playing without your tuxedo on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LaMelo was awesome last night, but I mean, I don't think he's a hard-nosed player.
Yeah.
You know?
Jordan Poole was another answer.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
He barely even wanted to touch the ball last night.
Right. Right, right.
Yeah, he was wearing those white gloves.
He was.
He wanted to get a spot on him.
Oh, French Bulls TV says Zach LaVine playing in a tuxedo right now.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is. Ooh. He is well-dressed.
He's looking quite sharp.
He's got the bow tie right now.
I thought of two good ones, like complimentary plays with their tuxedo on, like they have a classy game.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Ray Allen.
Yes.
And Pau Gasol.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm like, Pau, I feel like, would never jump higher than he absolutely needed to. He would get the ball 1 centimeter above the rim for his dunks. Ooh, David Robinson. That's another complimentary tuxedo guy.
Pau's a big fan of the opera, too.
Top and tails.
Yeah. A little monocle on.
Yeah.
Okay. These are all great answers. I like how you can look at it as a compliment or, as a bit of a diss.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which players out there play with their tuxedo on? What a line. That is a great, great line.
That's a great line.
Andrew, thank you so much for swinging by the Classic Factory. So you're heading back to the fam now?
Heading back to the fam. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. This has been so much fun.
Well, again, it was perfect timing. Our guy Tassie gone today. He slid right into his seat there.
Yeah.
And we'll have Tassie back here tomorrow. Go check out all the podcasts that Andrew does. Slam and Jam on the Athletic NBA Show. Down to Dunk. OKC Dream Team. That one's Patreon only.
It's Patreon only.
All right. So you got to be a real sicko for that.
That's right.
You Thunder fans. But you're going to get more and more Patreon members with the way they're playing.
Yeah. It's great.
Business is good in OKC for Cheryl and Andrew, I assume. So tonight, only 5 IST games on the schedule. One of them is huge, though. Indiana could be the first team to clinch a spot in the quarterfinals.
Wow.
They are playing here in Atlanta. If the Pacers win, they win Group A. If they don't, then it gets really spicy because that group would have no unbeaten teams, and any of the 4 between the Sixers, the Cavs, the Hawks, and the Pacers could win it. I'm going down to the fortress tonight to see that baby blue court. I would like to pick up some merch if I'm being honest.
Look, we always say, who buys these City Edition jerseys?
I sort of want one.
City Edition merch, though, is pretty tight.
Yeah, I want a jersey. I would like a nice... I look better in a baby blue than any of the Hawks
great
colors.
Color. Great
so,
color.
So I'll see if I can get something. But if you see me down at the fortress tonight, say hi for Pacers Hawks. We will be back here tomorrow morning. Now look, get your tuxedos on. It's formal Friday on a Wednesday.
Ooh.
Yeah, because we have no show on Thursday and Friday because of Thanksgiving down here. So we will be suited and booted tomorrow. Tass will be back. So join us live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Any final thoughts, Andrew, before we go and throw the Clipper Brothers?
I'm just very thankful on this week of Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, we thank you for coming.
You killed it.
Great way to spend your vacation, man.
It is.
Podcasting.
Yeah, how'd that go over when you were talking to the wife?
I was like, you know, we're taking a break from podcasting to go podcast more across the country. Yes. So no, she's great. She's very supportive. She was like, you need to go. You need to do this.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you here in the Classic Factory. And have a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Everybody, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, when you have formal Friday in the middle of the week, it's called Well-Dressed Wednesday.
Brace the day, people.